Hooray! Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Good morning, or afternoon, or evening.
Whatever time it is.
Sorry, Aaron, I just jumped all over your introduction.
No, it's fine. It was you who was supposed to introduce. I'm Aaron.
I'm Ben.
I'm Doug. Welcome to another fabulous episode of SOTS Watch.
Fabulous.
So glad you're here with us. Today we're going to be talking about soundtracks and film scores, what they do to a movie, what they do against a movie sometimes, unfortunately.
Sure, indeed.
Talking about some of our favorites, of course. We probably have similar opinions, I'm going to guess, without knowing you guys' answers already, but...
More than likely.
Probably, but I feel like I picked ones that you guys will not have chosen.
Okay.
We'll see about that. But first, folks, before we get into the main topic, we do want to touch upon Solo, A Star Wars Story, in case you weren't aware that it was part of Star Wars.
Yeah.
It is a Star Wars story.
The Star Wars joint.
It's not... So we're into our third weekend of Solo. It came out on Memorial Day weekend, which is kind of a surprise, because that's not really a very strong weekend movie.
Sure.
Four movies anyway. Everybody's out doing stuff.
Yeah.
But we're at globally $280 million in the third weekend.
Okay.
Definitely not what Disney was looking for.
Yeah.
None of us have seen it, which probably says a lot about... I mean, that's kind of a microcosm of its problem, right? So the rumors are that it cost up to $300 million to make.
That's insane.
Just because they basically reshot the whole movie.
Yeah.
What happened? What do you guys think happened?
I mean, what I think is going on is what kind of each and every one of us has struggled with a little bit. And I think that is, like, not a lot of us expected this movie to be good. And I've heard mixed reviews, right? Even after it's come out. I've heard some people say it's great, it's a blast, you know, definitely worth your time and money. And then I've heard other people just kind of be like, you know, like, whatever. And I think there was kind of already that fear in the air. I think what we're seeing is proof that a studio can't just slap a franchise name on a movie and expect it to sell well, at least not anymore.
Right. Right. Well, the other thing, it feels like they're just oversaturating the market with every year.
That's
now
also
there's
true.
A new Star Wars movie, and it's just like it's kind of taken away the specialty of it. You know, it used to be an event to have a Star Wars movie come out, and holy shit, a new Star Wars. Now it's Rogue One, Solo, whatever five other movies they're planning as backstories.
Yeah, and it being an event is exactly, I think that's the biggest part of it, because I forget who made this point, and I wish I could remember who it was, but they were like, when we were kids, Star Wars was done.
Yeah.
It had already come out,
like,
and it was it. That was, there were three of them, and that's all there was. And since, so you had the prequel trilogy, but even those were all 3 years apart and 20 years almost after the end of the original trilogy. So now you're just firing them out.
They've lost.
And they've, like you said, the reviews are mixed. For this one, so that's not going to get people excited. There was just The Last Jedi a few months ago. I don't know if Solo's origin story was particularly interesting to most people, especially the hardcore fans who can be crabby, let's be honest. And I'm not talking about the vile ones, but they're a own separate category.
Uh-huh.
I'm a pretty hardcore Star Wars fan, and I just wasn't interested. I'll see it someday, but I'm not going to run out to the theater.
Sure.
Yeah, the I mean...
Right.
I think what they were
banking
on is I think you're going to have a hard time saying Han Solo isn't kind of the overall favorite character of Star Wars. Like, I think most people would say, who's your favorite character in Star Wars? Mm-hmm. Han Solo is easily like one of most people's top three answers. So I thought they were going to have like, imagine the origin story of like Luke before he decided to get off Tatooine.
Ugh.
Just moisture farming his whole life and bullseyeing womp rats in his T-16. It would be a very boring and kind of disturbing story that actually, if you shot it like a psychological thriller, it would actually be fascinating. Wouldn't it be? Just call it Skywalker.
white
animals. But like Han, I don't know. Han, in theory, has the best origin story, but it doesn't matter at all, right? And I would rather see, if you're going to start doing a Star Wars movie every year, I would rather start seeing you do movies that had nothing to do with the main storyline of Star Wars. Or at least were.
I hear that a lot.
And see, and I think that's kind of, that's everyone's sense, because it's like, oh, okay, great. We thought this was dead and then it was back, and now it's back stronger than it's ever been before. This Star Wars thing, every year we're getting a movie now. I think we're a little excited to see something besides the Skywalker saga play out. You know, like one of the movies they were talking about doing early on was a Seven Samurai revision, but with Jedi defending a town from the Empire, which sounded amazing to
me. See, that's, I thought that's what they were trying to do with Rogue One and then just kind of scrapped that idea, but maybe I'm wrong.
And that may be the case.
Well, yeah, because Rogue One was another one that went through. It got to a point where the film was just about done. This Lucasfilm looked at it and was like, well, this doesn't feel like a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, you know, I don't know if the movie was good or not, but it doesn't have to feel like a Star Wars movie, especially when you're outside of those Skywalker episodes.
Exactly.
It shouldn't feel like a Star Wars movie.
No, I think you're right. I think, and again, we've talked about it before, but I think what Marvel has done very well with its movies is that it is showing us that a superhero movie doesn't have to be a superhero movie. It can be a heist movie with superheroes. You just call that Ant-Man. It could be a political thriller with superheroes. You call that Winter Soldier. You know, like, there's, you can do other genres within a genre.
Yeah. Even a simple buddy comedy road trip movie and call it Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great point. Absolutely. So, like, yeah, it just, like, Star Wars could have, like, I really thought Solo was going to be a heist movie, and I've heard that, like, it kind of is, but also kind of isn't, but I was excited for that. Or, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you switch directors.
Yeah.
What, a year into filming it, and.
Yeah.
That certainly didn't help. That was a lot of press. All the time you heard about how troubled that the production was, which surely kept some people away, because it's like, well, it doesn't sound like it's a very good movie. And I thought, so it had that kind of, it missed on that first weekend. It didn't have, it was like 84 million, which is way below expectations and stuff. But from what I heard from people who had seen it, I thought it might rebound the second weekend, but it didn't. And it's, I don't even know if it's going to make its money back here. It probably will. It's about 20 million for making its production budget back, but that's still not your goal, especially when you're a Star Wars movie, Disney movie, whatever.
Sure. I don't know. I mean, like, what can you tell, like, what can you tell Disney as a takeaway? Like, don't have problems in your production. That's not a helpful.
Yeah,
that's not a helpful lesson. So I'm trying to think, like, what's the lesson here for Disney? And I don't. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the takeaway is.
Yeah, I think it had multiple things going against it. You had Infinity War had just come out a couple of weeks prior. Deadpool 2 had come out 1 week prior. That's a big chunk of probably the same audience you're relying on for a movie like Solo.
For sure.
True.
Again, Memorial Day weekend, just traditionally not a good weekend for movies anyway.
Yeah.
You just had The Last Jedi, and I know people who liked it, whatever, they complain. But there were a lot of hardcore fans that were turned off by that movie. And I think that factored in for some people.
Sure.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see which lessons they learn. There are some that they can control. One is just try to make a good movie. Don't just make a movie and slap Star Wars on it.
Right.
And kind of think you're going to be okay, but.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Because I think the lesson they're going to learn from The Last Jedi, for example, is Episode 9 is going to be family popcorn fest, the movie. Like Return of the Jedi was.
Yeah.
So you never tell what movie studios are gonna figure out.
Sure. And I don't know. I think it's like you said, they really have to focus on making good, engaging movies and putting those under the Star Wars label and not just slapping Star Wars on any project you think you can make for the next year.
Well, I'm sure we'll have a Star Wars episode or five coming up.
We'll have an episode and a prequel episode and the sequel episode.
And a spinoffs episode. We got two already with multiple announced.
There we are.
Well, what are you, what are we drinking today?
Well, I am drinking. I actually think I've drank this before on the show, or I have at least talked about it. I'm drinking a beer from out here in Los Angeles, guys. You know, real West Coast beer. It's
an
called
IPA, isn't it?
No, it's not. It's called White Knight, and it's a blonde porter.
Oh yeah, you have talked about that.
It is nitro
pushed. Yeah, you have mentioned this.
And
yeah,
in all other ways, it tastes like a porter or a stout. Excuse me, stout. But it looks like any lager or maybe IPA, and it's very tasty.
You bringing some back with you?
I mean, I could, I guess.
Probably should. If you can.
Yeah, I'll look into it.
Aaron, what do you got?
Well, I got another local Zipline brew. Been drinking a lot of those across multiple episodes, but this one is a special Mimosa White.
That's what I'm having.
No way. Yeah. Huh. Well, what do you know?
Has nothing to do with the fact that we just hung out last night and we're drinking Mimosa White, I'm sure.
Nah. That has no bearing on it in any way.
So what type of beer?
I like it. It's an excellent hot weather beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's lager style, but it's really kind of, it really tastes a lot like a mimosa. I mean, it's not as citrus heavy as it
sure
probably sounds. It's a nice light beer, a little bit of fruity, tart flavor. Not to the point of like a sour, but.
Ooh, I've been warming up on those sours, especially as it gets hotter. I'm liking them more and more.
Yeah, I've got some good ones. I should have saved some of that grist for you from Colorado.
That's all right.
It's really good when it's hot like this.
Yeah, sours are just hit or miss for me, which is weird because I can down any amount of Warheads, no problem. Or like any other kind of sour thing. I'm like, yeah, sure. But sour beer, for whatever reason, just doesn't always work for me.
Yeah, it's something I'm just starting to warm up to them.
It was a sour IPA. I got to find. I can't remember where I had it. It was somewhere in town, though. So I know it's a local brewery, but yeah, it's sour IPA. Oh, it was so good.
Mm.
Kind of just took the edge off of both the sour and the sort of bitter hoppiness.
All right.
Had a nice little middle. We'll see. It might be at Code, which I think it was, and that's where I'm going this evening. So
okay.
If I find it, I'll let you guys know.
All right.
Well, here's hoping. I am also heading to Code.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, me too. I'll see you guys there.
Yeah, by the time this is airing, Ben will be back or... You'll be back shortly
I'll
after
be back
this.
Shortly after. We are, I am making a jaunt back to the motherland, back to Nebraska.
Yeah. We'll have probably a couple episodes where we all are in the same room for the first time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Easily. Yeah.
That'll be fun. Yeah, we're going to do, keep listening, Sotskers, because we are toying with different ideas, doing like a watch with us type thing that we could stream, you know, and live tweet along with us. That would be fun as well. But we're still toying with that. And maybe, you know, if you have an idea, maybe let us know on our Facebook page. Look us up, Sotswatch, SOTSWATCH. Let us know if you have an idea for a live episode or something we could do when we're all in the same room.
Yeah, absolutely. Love that feedback. Helps us get better and helps us get ideas, frankly. Speaking of ideas that we are supposed to cover today, movie soundtracks. And scores, too. We kind of put those in separate categories because, well, some movies just don't have a soundtrack anymore. Unlike the 90s when every movie had a separate Will Smith song. It's not quite the same as it used to be. But there are still some good ones.
Wait, you tell me Wild Wild West wasn't a separate project just tacked on to... Oh, wow. That was for the movie, huh?
Yep, that was not just a Will Smith. And then someone heard the song and then made the movie that was made. And he had... I think Independence Day is like the only movie that he didn't do a song for at that time. Because he had Men in Black, Wild Wild West.
8 Pounds.
Oh, never mind. There's only two.
Bagger Vance. Yeah.
Can't even imagine what the song was. I completely forgot that Bagger Vance even existed.
Bagger Vance should have just been called the Magic Negro.
I saw it one time, I think.
Yeah,
it kind of was that. Yeah. Very, oh, I'm just here to, like, oh boy.
Now that the white man's done won his golf tournament, I'm going to just disappear into the trees.
Yeah.
Which I think is actually what happens at the end of Bagger Vance. I think he just walks backwards into the trees and fades away.
You might be right. It's been, I don't know when the last, I saw it around the time when it came out, and that's all. With Matt Damon was in it.
Oh, I can't see. Yeah, I didn't remember that.
Am I just making that up?
Oh, that's right. See, I've seen that never. So that's.
It was clearly a very good one. Yeah. Stuck with both of us. It was. Yeah, it had some uncomfortable stereotypes.
But you know, the Will Smith rap for it was great. Woo! Ha ha!
Ha ha! Ha ha!
Now you're in a sand trap. Get out your sand wedge. That was. That was my favorite line.
That might be a lyric in a different Will Smith song. Willennium.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
What do you guys got? Well, we know Ben's favorite is obviously the Men in Black soundtrack.
Read me like a book. Soundtrack first and then score?
Yeah. Whichever you want to do.
Let's do soundtrack first.
Okay.
What do you got?
Well, I'm reaching back all the way to the magical year of 1994 with the electronic rock stage and screen soundtrack of The Crow. I love The Crow. You guys have seen
this
movie?
It's been a while, but yes.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So The Crow, I think, does, first of all, they do the best job of creating a world, right? Without doing much to really comment on it or to specifically illustrate it, the city that The Crow takes place in, which I think is a made-up city. I can't actually remember now. But it's very gothic and it feels very real. And a big part of that is the soundtrack. And on the soundtrack, we have The Cure, Machines of Loving Grace, Stone Temple Pilots, Nine Inch Nails, Rage Against the Machines, The Violent Femmes. Like, you have a really good Rollins Band. All these bands come together and create this really excellent soundtrack that I wish I'd play a little bit for you guys, because even just The Cure's Burn is a great song.
That is a really good song. Yeah, we will have to put the link, if there's YouTube links, just to the direct soundtracks, throw those in the comments. But I'll have to look up that Crow soundtrack again. I saw it, the movie, so long ago.
Sure.
I don't remember it. But yeah, you heard some of those band names. That's a pretty solid list, just hearing the names.
Absolutely. And just the way that the songs are stitched together creates a very, the city and a mood kind of just fuse into an alloy. And that's The Crow. It's great. It's great.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it's good when you get movies that can use everything to set the mood and tone without literally just sitting there and telling you in a distant future, in a, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, they can set the world without having to shove it in your face.
Yeah, and that's, and it all goes back to trusting your audience, believing that if you are putting the content out there, they'll pick up on it. Because if you watch The Crow again, do it with this eye of like, I wonder how many times they do anything to talk about the world around them or the city they live in. And it almost always, if they're doing it has something to do with the story. It's not just being like, damn, our city is shitty and kind of black and white.
Yeah. Oh, Sin City.
Yeah.
But I love Sin City too. But The Crow, man. The Crow.
What about you, Aaron? Got a favorite soundtrack?
It is a tough call, but I guess if I had to pick one, it would be Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. I'm going to specifically call out Volume 2. While I do believe they use the soundtrack better in the first one, because like Doug and I have always talked about many, many times, the soundtrack is almost its own character in the first one. It is less so in Volume 2, but I believe their sound select or their song selection still just tied in very nicely to the movie. I'm going to cite the best scene in that movie, and Ben already knows which scene I'm talking about. The jailbreak scene.
Oh God. Oh
yeah.
Amazing use of
that's
song.
That's pretty good.
Just an incredible scene altogether.
God, yes.
Yeah, I think Guardians gets the nod for a lot of people over Volume 2, just because of the intros.
Yeah.
In the first one, you had Come Get Your Love, and then that whole scene. I think that's why people...
Sure.
Well, and it was the original. That probably has a little bit to do with it, too.
Yeah, always going to have some sway to it, but they're both excellent soundtracks. It's hard to choose one over the other, really.
Yeah. James Gunn knows what he's doing with
definitely.
Music.
But yeah, that Yondu jailbreak is... Oh, man. Just thinking back on it, it's a little slice of cinema perfection, and I love it.
Yeah. Johnny and the Americans playing in the background.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a fun scene.
I'm going to watch that when we're done here today. just that scene. I'm just going to look it up on YouTube.
It is incredible.
I'm on repeat.
That is a great soundtrack. I wonder how many different bands they have on that.
As many bands as there were songs. Eight or nine? Because even in the trailer, they had Fox on the Run, which didn't actually play in the movie, if I remember right.
Probably right.
That's a good song, too. Yep. Well, I have the winner for you guys.
Okay.
Oh.
features. Not every song was in the movie, actually, but most of them were. Soundtrack that had New Edition, Bobby Brown, JT Taylor, Dougie Fresh, Run DMC, even Elton John. Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack.
That's a great soundtrack.
And you had On Our Own just by itself there. Spirit.
Yeah.
Some people hear it, that song. Oh, there's so many good ones. Run DMC kind of remake Ghostbusters.
Your Love is Lifting Me Higher.
Yeah, that and the when they're walking the Statue of Liberty down the middle of Manhattan playing Higher and Higher. That was as a kid that you're like, I don't know what's going on, but it's great.
Uh-huh.
And of course the original Ghostbusters theme is on there.
Good choice.
I don't think it's in the movie.
Yeah. I'd have to watch it again, and I'm not sure I'm willing to do that right now. Ghostbusters 2.
Better soundtrack than movie.
Catches a lot of flack, but I do still love that movie.
I rewatched it not long ago, and it's not as bad as people kind of remember it being, at least in my opinion. It's not great. But
sure, yeah. But yeah, great pick on that. I hadn't even thought of the Ghostbuster movies when I was thinking of soundtracks. And I honestly thought I was going to be the one reaching the furthest back to 94, but...
No, I went even further back.
Proud of you. Proud of, that's dedication. I'm looking at the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 soundtrack right now, and I am counting... 14 different artists. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, and they had who did that disco version of the Guardians theme at the end. It was pretty fun.
You want to know who that was?
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
David Hasselhoff.
I knew he was in it. That's awesome.
David Hasselhoff and the Sneepers.
I don't know who the Sneepers are.
I don't either. But you know what would be fun? To have a band and call yourself David Hasselhoff and the Whatevers.
Yeah.
And just not have David Hasselhoff in there and just be like, it's a band name, man. It doesn't have to make sense.
It's the name of the band.
Yeah. Who was Hootie in Hootie and the Blowfish?
There was no Hootie.
There was no Hootie.
Oh. He gets called.
Just spell it with one less S.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Spell it slightly off so it can't be. Then it's fair use, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What about scores? Movie scores?
This one I'm excited to hear your guys' opinions. I mean, I was excited to hear your soundtrack opinions, but... More excited to hear the score and who composed it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, yeah, I know now because I had a backup. I'm probably going to list it as an honorable mention because I couldn't decide. I mentioned earlier that it was kind of cheating. Uh-huh. It was a little bit of both, so I just couldn't decide which category to pick it as. So that'll be my honorable mention as far as soundtrack goes. An original score, rather than the best original score, in my opinion, is Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
That's always going to hold a very special place in my heart, anyway, from Danny Elfman.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That's a great.
Danny Elfman has done a lot of other things. He was a composer for the Batman movies with Tim Burton as well, which is also great. But, I mean, I don't know if I can get away from Nightmare Before Christmas.
It was nominated for an Oscar, the Nightmare.
Was it?
Score. Yeah, best original score.
I think so. Yeah.
That makes sense. I mean, like, that's like what Danny Elfman's music was made to do.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It really did set the atmosphere of that movie. Like, the style of the movie itself was weird and whatnot, but it really, whatever expression I'm looking for here, drove it home.
Yeah.
With the score.
Yeah. I think the score really kind of breathes life into that really weird, almost off-putting, like, animation style and all that.
Yeah.
Weirdos like us love the creepy, kind of cute design of that. But I think it's the soundtrack that really sells it and brings it to life.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, for sure. It's up there with any other Disney musical as far as quality and stuff, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I went with the easiest answer of all. I would say my honorable mention was Jurassic Park. Almost picked Jurassic Park.
Mm-hmm.
But I went with another John Williams and Star Wars, but specifically The Empire Strikes Back. That's the first time you get the Imperial March.
Okay.
So that put it over the top. But
That's probably the most iconic Star Wars song.
The Darth Vader theme, as it were.
Right.
Yeah.
That one, that was an easy one for me. It, like I said, Imperial March, and then you have all the other pieces of music from Star Wars, the Force theme, and then just his background stuff. I mean, you have the chase, you have the Battle on Hoth music, you've got them running into the asteroid field. You've got Leia's theme is more prominent in Empire. Just start to finish. Best one.
That's a good answer. It's a really good answer. I expected Star Wars to appear on this list somewhere. Mm-hmm. I should have known it would have been you. That's a great choice and a well-researched choice, because I would have just been like, Star Wars. I didn't realize that we didn't hear the Imperial March in New Hope.
Yeah, nope. They had like a Death Star, like just quick, like da-da-da. That's all you got. There wasn't any bad guys didn't really have a theme in that movie.
Any- Sure. Well, it wasn't their movie.
That's true. And they didn't know there was going to be a sequel of many films to come at the, you know, when Star Wars first came out. A lot of people thought it was going to flop, so.
Mm-hmm.
And it probably should have by everything leading up to right when it came out.
I don't know, man. I've watched some of the, like, cheap knockoff movies that came out after Star Wars. You know how, like, you'll have the movie, like, Pirates of the Caribbean comes out, and all of a sudden, like, old boat movies are huge. So you have, like, Master and Commander and, like, all this stupid shit. So, like, I was watching, like, they had one of them on Mystery Science Theater 3000, the new season. I can't remember what the movie was called, but it was clearly like, we're not Star Wars. We're not Star Wars. And it wasn't much to its chagrin. It was no Star Wars. It was awful. But
well, I for one am shocked, perhaps even devastated, dare I say, that you did not select the Star Wars Christmas special. Yeah. How
if I can find it?
I'm not gonna recite anything. Just go to YouTube and look it up.
Yeah, you can find the whole thing on YouTube.
I could totally recite it from memory, you guys.
Could you?
Totally
now?
What I can do.
Well, who are we to stop you, Aaron? Please.
Oh
please
no!
Regale us.
Sing the Life Day song.
We don't have the time or the patience. anyway,
that was the best. It's so bad, but do go watch it because Harrison Ford is actually legitimately like trying to do his best, and it makes it even more sad because you can kind of see as it goes on, he realizes how terrible this really is. But
I propose to you that he gets drunker as it goes on. And
well, I think Carrie Fisher was drunk.
Carrie Fisher, I think, was just gone. I think she's on something and she's blasted off. She may not know that the Wookiees aren't real.
Oh, that was so bad.
So bad. But introduction to Boba Fett.
Yeah. Riding a dinosaur.
Yeah.
God.
I do.
Yeah, George Lucas wanted that scrubbed from all.
I know. But then the internet became. He almost won, too. Evil Luke.
Well, yeah.
Almost.
Because I remember as kids, you'd hear like rumors about it, but there was no way. Like, you just couldn't find it. The only reason it's is on YouTube now is for people who recorded it and just still had the videotape.
Yep,
right.
Oh, it's bad.
You were saying, Aaron?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention before you got to yours that I forgot to even say what my honorable mention was.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That honorable mention was Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, the soundtrack alone had a great selection of artists, yada, yada. But it also had a great selection of original songs and score to go alongside it. So I couldn't decide which category to put that under.
Still haven't seen that movie.
Seriously? Oh, man. Yeah. That's one of the movies that like, I saw it and was like, damn, I need to be in Hollywood right now because I should have been in this.
Yeah, I got to watch it at some point. I have access to so many movies that I have a list that I'm going through of like movies I should have seen but haven't.
I'm sure I've got it laying around somewhere in my house. I can just bring it over to your place sometime.
I think you'll enjoy it. It's a real fun movie. So for my pick, I also had an honorable mention. So I'll mention them honorably first. My honorable mention is a Studio Ghibli entry, Princess Mononoke.
Mm.
A soundtrack by Joe. I'm going to mess this up. Forgive me. Hisaishi. Hisaishi. Hisaishi?
Hisaishi, probably. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And they just, I don't know. It's hard because sometimes they pronounce all the syllables when they romanize it. Sometimes they don't pronounce all the syllables. Or, I mean, vowels, not syllables.
Like, and every Studio Ghibli movie has a great soundtrack. It's really hard to, like, once you get to that level, it's hard to one over the other, but I just like, I remember watching the movie and hearing the drums start when like the boars go on the march against man, and you knew it's that doom 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 ba doom doom. It's really good. So that's my honorable mention, though. Okay. And now I almost talked myself into making it my choice, but I. But I'm gonna stay true, and I'm gonna go back to 1989 with a little bit of a Mexican flair, The Mask of Zorro.
Ooh.
The Mask of Zorro, music composed by James Horner. Great soundtrack. The theme of it is just beautiful. I'm trying to find what they named the songs, but I can't find the list that I'm looking for. I love that movie.
Is it better than the Antonio Banderas Zorro from probably 10 years later?
No, this is the Antonio Banderas.
That was 1989?
98.
Did you say 99 and I was completely misheard?
Oh, 98.
I heard completely wrong.
I thought you said 89, but maybe
I hope I did. Maybe I said 89. 98.
Okay.
Mask of Zorro, 1998.
Okay. But yeah, I know what you're talking
Antonio Banderas, Anthony Hopkins. Yep. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Mask of Zorro. Anthony Hopkins is in that.
Yep.
God, he kills it as old Zorro. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm looking at a
picture. Well, I mean, not to throw down the gauntlet, but what doesn't Anthony Hopkins kill, if I'm being honest here?
Yeah. I mean, he was great as Dr. Kellogg, if you've ever seen that weird movie. I think it's Road to Wellville, him and Matthew Broderick.
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen that.
It is a weird early 90s comedy.
He was even good in Transformers The Last Knight, and that movie was horrible.
Hell, even in Thor Ragnarok, in an otherwise lighthearted and fun film. First of all, the opening part where, spoiler alert, Loki is portraying Odin.
Yeah.
He does that part really well. So he's not only playing Odin, he's playing as Loki as Odin and still pulls it off. But also when he's more contemplative, like, yeah, this is my time, but
sure,
you know, home is not Asgard.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Enough about Anthony Hopkins, you were saying.
I mean, is there ever enough about Anthony Hopkins? Like,
there really isn't.
I'm looking at a picture of him
Westworld and
playing as old Zorro, and like, he's a little scary and a little sexy, guys. I'm not too proud to admit it. He's a sexy older guy, and I hope I look half as good as him when I'm that old.
Right.
That's kind of what he's always played well in even everything, though. It was a very charismatic but also dark characters. That's when he's been in his best, which is plays a lot.
Did you know that he dated Martha Stewart?
No.
So I can't remember where I heard this story. It was on the radio somewhere. But yeah, he dated Martha Stewart and was apparently pretty into her. And she called things off because she couldn't not see him as Hannibal Lecter.
That'll do it.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put a damper on things. But
you guys have any soundtracks that stand out in the bad way?
Oh,
I was trying to think about that. I mean,
another Star Wars one for me. Rogue One was bad, and I've learned recently they kind of had to slap it together at the last minute.
Sure,
but it was basically Michael Giacchino just trying. It sounded like he was trying to copy John Williams, but not in a educated sort of way. Like, not like, oh, John Williams would have waited and then had the movement built up. At this point, he's like, John Williams would have put a flute here. Like, that's what it sounded like he did. And it's just,
I see.
It's weird. It's like the TV movie version of a Star Wars soundtrack, and they should have just not. They just go a different direction and do something.
Yeah.
Entirely.
I mean, I have a hard time saying, I hear people give Wild Wild West a hard time for its soundtrack, but, why? Because Young Guns was a thing. Do you remember Young Guns with Kiefer Sutherland, that whole group? And it was all,
Charlie Sheen.
80s rock, 80s, rock ballads, but while they were on horseback shooting, you know, six shooters. So, and people seem to love Knight's Tale, even though I can't stand that movie.
Yeah, I don't get that. That soundtrack isn't why that movie was bad, but
As soon as I saw them doing pop and lock group dance, I was like, no, done.
Yeah.
Over.
Because it's one thing to have the music in the background, but then, people doing.
But to have your characters live in that music is no.
Yeah. That's odd.
Another movie that comes up when I just look for bad movie soundtracks. The Garbage Pail Kids movie.
the
Do you remember Garbage Pail Kids?
Oh yeah.
Those are like the spinoff of Cabbage Patch Kids, but were like,
they were like rude,
marketed towards boys or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were like Mad Magazine version of Cabbage Patch Kids.
Gotcha.
So they're all like gross and like very grotesquely drawn and things. Well, some executive genius decided they'd make a great movie put a ton of little people in really disturbing animatronic masks.
Oh god.
Like Ninja Turtle style masks. But they're people faces. So it's Uncanny Valley, the movie. You spend the whole time being like, I'm really uncomfortable looking at these things, but they're also the main character. So,
yeesh.
Yeah.
What about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze soundtrack?
I don't know what you're complaining about.
Ninja Rap is the only thing that actually I can remember off of that.
That's the only thing you need to remember.
Yeah, that's true. I just like the idea of they accidentally bust into a concert. Didn't have a lot of people in it, by the way, Vanilla Ice.
Yeah, I know.
And he just improvises a song while they're fighting the Foot Clan.
I know. And but
that's that scene.
But that's just that does nothing to inform you about the Ninja Turtles. That has everything to do with how chill Vanilla Ice is.
It's true. It's like, you know what? I've been working on something for just this situation.
Yeah. He doesn't miss a beat either. He's just like, all right, it's time for that ninja rap. I thought I'd never have to use it. I hoped I'd never have to use it.
A lot of my lyrics were turtle-centric already, so.
I am damn glad Shell rhymes with so much.
I was just asking somebody the other day, have you ever seen a turtle get down? And who?
Ninja rap.
Oh, man.
That's a good song.
That was the last song that was my my page song on MySpace.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Speaking of old things.
Well,
us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old MySpace. Ninja rap played at school skates a lot. So I do remember that as well.
God, I love that. I mean, yeah, like. Dude, I like Secret of the Ooze.
Oh, yeah. It's so dumb, but it's fun.
Yeah.
It was the course correct for the first one. From parents, basically.
Yeah, basically. Like,
we don't like that this is a violent movie. Okay.
They're ninjas fighting ninjas, so.
Yeah, I don't know what.
Could you just give them. Could they all have sticks? Maybe they all just have a stick.
Can we just have Michelangelo attack people with pepperonis, maybe, and do that? Jeez. Well, because the tough one, I mean, the cartoon was so popular, but then they based the movie on the comic book, which is
right.
A little more.
Yeah, but that.
Oh, I hate tropey words, but dark and gritty. And then the cartoon was on, which is definitely for kids. So, I mean, the Foot Clan were robots in the cartoon, for heck.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, absolutely. And I'll give you this, TMNT, while I do not like Michael Bay, and I detest what he did to Shredder, he did a decent job of translating the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles into that middle ground where they are lighthearted and goofy and they are their characters to a T, but the world is a little grittier, the stakes are higher, and they're fighting for their lives. So I got to give that to Michael Bay when he's not directing something about giant, stupid, racist robots. Sorry, I'm never going to get over those robots from, I think, Transformers 2, was it?
I don't think anybody's going to get over Transformers 2.
The racist ones?
When they were like, damn!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, I can't read. God, oh my god. Let me just drift in with, like, the crows from Dumbo while you're at it.
Right.
Yeah, and Jar Jar Binks.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, Jar Jar.
Can you imagine?
Star Wars Episode 1 had Duel of the Fates on it.
That was a solid song.
Yeah.
Pretty much the only redeemable factor of Episode 1.
No, I mean, Liam Neeson. Qui-Gon is great.
Qui-Gon's like, cool. I don't think he does a whole lot. I mean, he initiates the fight.
No, he doesn't.
I know.
You're dead right. He doesn't. He's just probably the best character from that movie, if you ask me.
Fair enough. I don't know. I liked Darth Maul, but that's another character that really didn't do a whole hell of a lot. He was just kind of this menacing character.
Well, people like those cool characters, because if they don't have a backstory or a lot of stuff, you can fill in the details yourself.
And... Well, hell, yeah, look at Boba Fett. He had, what, one line?
Oh, maybe
12 minutes of...
Only a couple.
12 minutes of screen time, if even that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably that might not even be that
much. I doubt it. Probably I doubt not. He made 10 minutes, really.
Yeah.
But, I'm, you know, you're right. They love... People love characters in a mask because it's like, oh, who's that?
Yeah.
Or, and I think you could probably lump Darth Maul's tattoos, his face tattoos, into that same thing. Like, obscured the face. It's not a normal face.
Not to mention all the little horns on his head. I don't think
they've
explored that race in any other Star Wars movie. But
no, and I don't think we've ever even really met another Zabrak in any of the other Star Wars movies.
No, we haven't. Not yet.
I don't believe so. Not yet.
And we may never again, right? Because, like, a lot of the Zabrak came from Extended Universe stuff, which isn't canon anymore.
So they say.
Well, but the fact that he exists, it means it's canon.
Yeah.
Or some of it is. I don't know how they're doing that, because, we could go all day on this. What's canon and what's not.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, like, Shadows of the Empire isn't, but... That main character's spaceship is in Star Wars Episode 4 now because of the special edition, so it is canon, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But as far as bad soundtracks goes, I can't really think of anything that was truly a bad soundtrack. Nothing's coming to mind anyway. I'm just going to go with what doesn't age well.
Okay.
And I'm going to say The Matrix.
Oh. Oh.
Because I personally...
Saying Rob Zombie isn't...
Maybe. I guess I'm saying that 90s techno / metal isn't necessarily popular today.
Sure.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not stuff you'd hear going anywhere.
Yeah, right.
That was such different. Because that was the birth of EDM, but it was so different than what it is now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. It worked well enough when it came out. It's just...
The Matrix was so...
Doesn't age well.
Quintessentially tied to the time it came out. Like, mm-hmm. I think people just in that atmosphere, people were starting to really kind of get an idea of what is possible with the internet. We had created this tool that we didn't even really fully understand the implications of yet. And so kind of just like when computers became a thing, like a bigger thing in the 80s, and all of a sudden, you know, weird science comes out, right? And it's like, well, with a computer, we can make a sexy babe.
War
or war games or, you know, all these other things that are like, because computers, Superman 4. God, that's a bad movie. With Richard Pryor.
I just the quest for peace.
Yeah, I just told the computer to do it, and it did it. Like, ugh, damn it. I think that's the one where they make a superhero. They make, like, the sun guy who has to fight super... and then what's her bucket? The evil... the Nazi lady from Austin Powers? It's not her, but that's who I always imagine it is. She gets thrown back into the computer and comes back out as, like, a computer lady. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah. I am suddenly remembering all of it again, yes.
Yep, you're welcome. Yeah, so like, but when the Matrix came out, the internet was the new horizon, and it's all, you know, and it opened that door of like, oh, what if we're already in the simulation? And if you look back, a lot of what the Matrix is and did is not original. There's even a James Bond movie out there, I can't remember which one it is, but where the villain traps James Bond in his highly advanced computer simulation called The Matrix, where anything that they can imagine will appear for them, because that's the power of computing and thought. So, like, the Matrix isn't even, it's just taken to that next level. And that's not to take anything away from The Matrix. I really enjoy the first Matrix movie. The first Matrix movie.
The only Matrix movie.
It's just to say that, like, that all pleather, black-on-black-on-black, armless sunglasses thing... Would not play.
The phones.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. It wouldn't play today. There's no way.
Well, imagine making that movie today where they still had to get to a landline to get out of the Matrix.
Be running forever.
Oh, boy. We are stuck in here.
Oh, God.
And that's, I mean, but think about that. Like, if you were to make the Matrix today, what do you think they would use to show, like, these are the cool, the hacker people, the people that have, like, figured it out? What style cues would they, like, try and, I mean, this is a whole other episode. We getting into like costuming now, but it's just, it's interesting for me to think about, because like, you know, similarly, like Mad Max Fury Road comes out, and I think you start to see more of that like kind of apocalyptic piecemeal like clothing style becoming popular in movies. And we saw a lot of like Matrix style wannabes after The Matrix, and it all had this kind of like, in a world dark black, wearing black on black, hair slicked back and black.
Yeah, yeah. Black trench coat.
It was just like like everyone wore clothes that just screamed, I'm a badass. And I think today's audiences would be like, but are you?
Yeah. Those are definitely like, well, but it's because growing up, seeing Keanu Reeves and Lawrence Fishburne dressed like that is one thing, but then seeing like your classmate who's 5'9" and like 158 pounds wearing the same outfit, not as cool.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even, was it Grandma's Boy where the
bad
guy in the movie dressed like the guy from The Matrix, basically? Yep. That's pretty much what you looked like in middle school, everybody. And I wore JNCO jeans, so I was not immune to, you know.
Me too.
Trends.
What would be great, though, to create a Matrix in this day and age and, like, really show who the hackers are? Just make them all, like, neck beards.
Yeah.
I'm talking, like, anime shirts, fedoras, super baggy pants.
Fedoras. One guy's just carrying his girlfriend pillow around with him.
Man, it's a waifu pillow. And I'll thank you to get that.
And her name is Kimiko. So.
Trends.
Let's make it happen.
We should. Yeah. Well, that'll be next. That's our first project. Matrix reboot.
Oh, man. I love it. There's a bunch of neck.
Well.
I think we did it, folks. I think we reached the end of us talking.
We ran out of stuff to say.
You never thought it would happen, but here we find ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I did want to say, ladies and gentlemen, as we record this, just yesterday, we lost Anthony Bourdain.
Yep.
Not us personally. But the world.
Yes.
He lost a longtime struggle with depression, and he decided to take his own life. And we understand that that's the reality for a lot of people. And we want to encourage you, Sotskers, to get help if you need it. If you're having, if you're losing hope, if you can't see tomorrow, please, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. I'll make sure I put that in the episode description, but we plead you, please, please go get help. Please talk to someone. I'm sure the three of us, if you know us personally, each of us would be happy to answer or answer the phone and talk to you for a while. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We are the Sots. My name's Ben.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Aaron.
Social media, what, we're Sots Watch, basically what, everywhere. Instagram,
yeah.
Twitter, Facebook.
Yep.
Yep. SOTSWATCH.
Sots Watch. And then the stream on Wednesday nights, Twitch stream.
Absolutely.
Yep. Find us at twitch.tv/SotsPlay, PLAY. Wednesday nights, 7 p.m. Central, because that's where I'm at. Other times elsewhere. Figure it out, nerds.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining us once again. Have a great one. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye-bye.